You're standing on raw land with a price that feels too good. The seller talks fast. The listing sounds flexible. You are already picturing fences, a house, maybe a small operation that finally puts you ahead. Then one word shows up and everything tightens. Zoning. Zoning does not care what you plan to do. It does not care what the seller promised. It only cares what is allowed on paper today. Miss it, and the land turns from opportunity into a locked door you already paid for. People lose money here. They buy dirt they cannot build on. They buy acreage they cannot live on. They buy dreams that stop at the permit counter. This is where pressure works against you. Deadlines, deposits, competing buyers, all of it pushing you to skip the quiet step that matters most. Before you walk a boundary line or wire a dollar, you need to know the rules that control that ground. Not later. Not after closing, before the money leaves your hand. Chapter 1. The map you cannot ignore. You start with a listing. Acreage. Cheap enough to make you pause. The photos show grass, trees, maybe a dirt track cutting through. The description says flexible use or great potential. That language is doing work on you before you even notice. You are already assigning purpose. A house, a shop, a small operation, something that changes your position. That is how land gets you. It invites imagination first and questions second. Zoning sits between those two things. Zoning is not a guideline. It is a rule set adopted by a local authority that controls what land can be used for, not what might be allowed later, not what someone once did there, what is allowed now. Every parcel sits inside a zone. That zone dictates use, intensity, and limits. It answers whether people can live there, farm there, sell there, store equipment there, or do nothing at all. It does not adjust itself to your plans. Most buyers never see zoning at the start. They see price, location, access. They trust the listing. They trust the seller. They trust that rural means free and open. That assumption costs people money. Zoning usually appears as a map first, a grid of colors and lines maintained by a city, county, parish, or municipality. Each color corresponds to a classification. Those classifications are backed by written rules. The map tells you where the land sits. The text tells you what that placement means. The listing description does not override that map. Residential zoning is built around living space, single dwellings, sometimes multiple units, sometimes strict limits on density. It may allow home-based activity. It may not. The key point is that residential land is meant for people to live, not for everything people want to do. Agricultural zoning sounds open until you read it. It often allows farming, grazing, and related structures. It does not always allow full-time residents. It does not always allow multiple dwellings. It can limit how land is divided and how it is accessed. Agricultural does not mean anything goes. Commercial zoning is about business activity, offices, retail, services. It usually restricts living space or separates it tightly. It may limit hours, traffic, or types of operations. Commercial land is valuable because of what it allows, not because of its size. Industrial zoning is heavy use, storage, manufacturing, logistics. It is usually isolated for a reason. Noise, traffic, and scale live here. Living space is often restricted or outright blocked. There are other categories: mixed use, conservation, special districts, overlay zones layered on top of base zoning. Each one adds rules, not flexibility. The mistake happens when you assume the category from appearance. Trees do not mean agriculture. An old house does not mean residential use is allowed today. A quiet road does not mean commercial activity is acceptable. Zoning follows the record, not the look. Enforcement sits with the local authority that adopted the code. That could be a planning department, zoning office, or development authority. Titles vary, power does not. They maintain the map, they interpret the code, they answer questions in writing if you ask correctly. Your first real step happens before you visit the land. You pull the zoning map. You locate the parcel. You confirm the classification. You do not rely on the seller's word. You do not rely on the agent's confidence. You rely on the map and the code that supports it. This is where pressure starts working against you. The price is good. Another buyer is interested. The seller wants movement. You tell yourself zoning can be sorted later. That is the wrong order. Zoning is the gate. Everything else passes through it or stops. When you call the zoning office, you do not pitch dreams. You give parcel numbers. You ask what zone it is in. You ask what uses are allowed by right. You listen more than you talk. The tone matters. This is not negotiation, this is confirmation. A simple answer like residential low density already tells you a lot. So does agricultural preservation. So does conservation. Those words carry limits even before you read deeper. Red flags appear early if you pay attention. If the listing avoids naming the zone, pause. If the seller says everyone does what they want out here, pause harder. If the agent says zoning is flexible, that is not an answer. Another red flag is vague history. Someone used to live here, someone once ran animals here. Used to is not now. Zoning is current tense. Access can be another early signal. Landlocked parcels, shared roads, private drives. Zoning interacts with access rules. If access is unclear, zoning questions multiply. Size can mislead you. Large parcels can sit inside tight zones. Small parcels can sit inside permissive ones. Acreage alone does not determine freedom. You are not trying to win an argument at this stage. You are trying to understand the limits of the board you are about to step onto. Zoning does not show mercy to assumptions. It does not reward optimism. It only responds to what is written and adopted. This chapter ends with one clean question that must be answered before anything else moves. Can this land be used for what you intend right now, under its current zoning, without changes of any kind? If the answer is unclear, the land is already telling you something. Chapter 2. When intent collides with code, you have your zone, you pulled the map, you asked the office, you thought you understood the limits, then reality starts to push back. That is how zoning hits you in the teeth. It does not wait until you close or build. It shows up the moment your plans collide with the code. Setbacks are often the first surprise. Lines drawn from property edges to structures, driveways, fences, those lines can shrink usable space faster than you imagined. You might have a flat parcel with room for a house and a barn, but the code says 25 feet from each edge, plus a rear setback, plus a road buffer. Suddenly, that dream layout does not fit. Lot coverage is next. Maximum percentage of the parcel allowed to be covered by structures. You imagine a house, garage, workshop, shed, maybe a greenhouse. Each square foot adds up. If the total exceeds the allowed percentage, the land is less than you thought. You cannot squeeze your vision in without violating rules. Height restrictions can feel subtle until you measure. Residential zones might allow one or two stories. Agricultural zones sometimes cap structures to preserve sight lines. Industrial zones are different, but you are not in one. The taller your project, the more you confront these invisible ceilings. Accessory structures are often overlooked. Sheds, barns, secondary dwellings, even fences and decks have limits. Some zones allow them freely. Others require permits or impose strict rules. Ignoring these limits can put you on the wrong side of enforcement before you even occupy the land. Agricultural zones carry myths. People assume farming means freedom. It does not. The code may limit permanent dwellings, subdividing lots, or commercial sales. You might think planting a vegetable plot is free. You are right, mostly. Building a shop to sell farm goods, not so much. Zoning draws lines that decide what profit is legal. Utilities matter more than imagined. Access to water, sewer, electricity, and road easements ties to zoning. A parcel may look buildable, but the code may restrict connection to municipal systems or require additional approvals. Without proper access, your intended use can become a logistical nightmare. Now comes the midpoint hit: variances. They are exceptions to the rule. They allow you to break a setback, increase coverage, or change minor uses. They sound like a loophole, but they are not guarantees. You must apply, pay fees, and wait for public hearings. Neighbors may object, boards may deny. Variances are a risk, not a safety net. Rezoning is heavier still. Changing the zone from residential to commercial or agricultural to residential is possible, but slow, expensive, and uncertain. Public hearings, environmental studies, traffic reports, all can extend the timeline. While your mind is imagining fences and buildings, the clock is ticking on deposits and opportunities. Enforcement risks escalate here. Violating setbacks or lot coverage can trigger fines, stop work orders, or forced demolition. Even minor miscalculations become official actions. The code is backed by authority, not mercy. Your plans collide with legal reality, and the consequence is immediate. Neighbor input is another factor. Some jurisdictions allow neighbors to comment or object to variances or rezoning. A single complaint can stall your project or kill it entirely. The local political climate matters. It is not always about legality. It is about influence and enforcement. Timing compounds pressure. You might think zoning issues can be sorted after purchase. Wrong. Some codes forbid building before approval. Deposits are at risk if you cannot meet deadlines. Buyers who ignore this step often discover that the land's rules are more binding than contracts. Understanding the zoning ordinance in detail becomes essential. Maps show placement, but ordinances define every limit. Every line of text can affect your plan. Accessory dwellings, home businesses, setbacks, lot coverage, building materials, parking, traffic, signage, these are all codified. Ignoring them is not an option. You start to see conflicts emerge. Your intended use is simple: build a home and operate a small commercial endeavor on the side. The zone allows a home, but restricts business activities. Your second plan of a small warehouse collides with height limits and lot coverage. Your farm ideas bump against accessory building limits. Each conflict is a hard reminder that intention alone carries no weight against code. Documentation becomes your ally. Written confirmation from the zoning office clarifies what is allowed versus what is forbidden. Emails, official letters, or recorded phone calls create a record. You may need them for variances, rezoning petitions, or if enforcement becomes aggressive. Records reduce ambiguity, but they do not remove risk. Pressure builds, money on the line, competing buyers circling. The land is still available, still tempting. You are confronted with the classic choice: push ahead, adapt, or step back. Each option carries cost. Each option carries risk. Some buyers try to reinterpret limits. They hope residential use only leaves room for a home-based shop. It does not always. Hope is expensive here. Hope does not change the ordinance. Misreading the code can lock you into legal battles or financial loss. At this stage, you start to question assumptions. You might have believed agricultural meant free use. You thought setbacks were flexible. You assumed the map and reality matched. They rarely do. That collision between intent and code sharpens tension. You notice subtle traps: easements for utility lines that restrict where buildings can be placed, wetland buffers that shrink usable land, access restrictions that require permits or easements from neighbors. Each hidden rule reinforces the lesson: the map is not the full story. Planning now becomes detail work. You measure setbacks, calculate lot coverage, sketch layouts, compare each intended structure to ordinance lines. You do not want to discover after purchase that a shed, fence, or small barn violates code. The stakes are too high. You begin to understand how easily a promising property can turn into a financial trap. Land without due diligence can be a liability. Even large parcels fail under the weight of restrictions. Small parcels become unusable for intended purposes. The collision of ambition and zoning law is unrelenting. At the same time, you see opportunities if you follow the rules. Variances if applied correctly. Rezoning if justified. Careful planning that aligns intent with code. Knowledge creates leverage. Ignorance creates cost. The chapter closes with a question that carries the same weight as money on the table. You can see it clearly now. Is it worth pursuing this property knowing that zoning may fight back harder than any deposit or plan you bring? Can you navigate setbacks, coverage limits, accessory restrictions, and neighbor influence without losing more than you gain? Your answer will determine whether you continue down this path, adjust your plans, or walk away entirely. The next chapter will show the verification steps you must take before any money changes hands. Zoning is no longer abstract. It is pressure. It is consequence. And it will not yield to hope or wishful thinking. Chapter 3. Before the money leaves your hand. By now, the weight of what you face is clear. You have seen the zone, measured setbacks, calculated coverage, assessed height limits, and questioned access. You have confronted variances, rezoning, and enforcement risks. You understand that intention alone does not bend the law. Now comes the moment that separates theory from action: verification before you pay. Verification is not optional. The cost of ignoring it is immediate and steep. Deposits vanish. Dreams collapse. Land that looked promising becomes a liability. The moment you wire money, the rules do not stop. They continue to govern, and enforcement is already waiting. You are standing at the threshold where knowledge converts into protection. First, you confirm zoning directly with the authority that maintains it. This is not casual questioning. you provide parcel numbers, section or lot identifiers, and location specifics. You request written confirmation. Phone conversations are useful, but a documented record carries weight. That letter, email, or official memo is your shield against future disputes. Next, you cross-reference the ordinance. Maps alone are insufficient. Ordinances contain the legal language that defines what is allowed. You read it line by line. You do not skip accessory uses, setbacks, lot coverage, or height limits. You check any overlay zones, conservation districts, or special restrictions. The devil lives in these details. Easements require attention. Utility, road, or drainage easements can limit usable space. You trace them across the parcel. A driveway cannot intersect a utility easement. A barn cannot sit where a drainage swale runs. Even legal access can carry restrictions. Knowing them before purchase prevents costly mistakes. Permits and inspections intersect with zoning. Even if your intended use aligns perfectly, you may still need approvals. Building permits, septic permits, environmental assessments. Each one is separate but entwined with zoning. Ignoring this web is a risk you cannot recover from after closing. Public input remains a potential factor. Some jurisdictions require notification of neighbors for certain approvals or variances. A single objection can halt progress. Checking this early is essential. Knowing the timeline for comment periods and hearings lets you plan without surprises. A checklist is your final tool before committing. You do not rely on memory. You document zone confirmation, ordinance review, easement verification, permit requirements, access confirmation, utility availability, and public input obligations. Each line represents risk mitigated. Each line you skip increases exposure. Walking the land is not symbolic. You observe conditions against your verified limits. Where are setbacks? Where are easements? Where do utilities enter? What does the topography allow? Physical inspection ensures your theoretical plan matches reality. Maps cannot reveal slope, flood risk, or hidden obstacles. Legal counsel can be essential. A real estate attorney familiar with local zoning can review your findings, confirm interpretations, and flag unseen issues. Their input does not replace your work, it validates it. Ignoring this step is a cost you may only realize after a dispute arises. Contingencies in the purchase contract protect you. You include zoning verification clauses. You specify that closing depends on confirmed permissible use. You include inspections and approvals. If something does not align, you have the right to walk away without financial loss. This is not hesitation. It is strategy. It is survival. Costs of ignoring this stage are immediate and tangible. You might buy land and discover a shed is illegal. You might plan a home and violate lot coverage. You might begin farming only to be stopped by use restrictions. Enforcement is not forgiving. Courts and boards uphold codes. Deposits and construction costs are lost. Dreams collapse. Walking away is a real option. The pressure of a good deal is constant, but the land will not wait. Another buyer may appear. Deposits may tempt you. You may feel trapped by momentum. You are not. Knowledge gives freedom. Choosing not to buy because zoning prevents your plan is a rational, protective decision. Renegotiation is another pathway. If zoning conflicts exist but are manageable, you may reduce price, adjust plans, or build contingencies. Transparency with the seller helps. The goal is to align legal reality with your intention. This approach requires patience, documentation, and the willingness to step back if compromises fail. Your intent now meets reality fully. Every line on the map, every ordinance paragraph, every setback, every easement, every variance requirement has been checked, verified, and weighed. You know what is allowed, what is risky, and what is impossible. You have eliminated guesswork. This is the moment before any dollar moves. A single misstep after this point cannot be undone easily. Verification converts risk into informed choice. The land no longer surprises. You decide based on law, code, access, and feasibility, not hope. You consider contingencies for future changes. Codes evolve. Local authorities may amend rules. Planned development in adjacent parcels may affect access, drainage, or permitted uses. Awareness of these possibilities informs your purchase decision. Ignorance now is preventable risk. Documentation is collected, organized, and ready. Confirmation letters, maps, ordinance excerpts, attorney notes, and inspection reports, all stored where they can be referenced. You are no longer guessing. You have created a record that protects you from misunderstanding, misrepresentation, and enforcement. Finally, you make the decision. This is the pivot point the previous chapters have been steering toward. You can proceed with the purchase, confident that your plan is legal, feasible, and documented. You can renegotiate based on limits discovered, or you can walk away, knowing the risk outweighs the potential. Each option carries cost, but each is informed. The land is neutral, the maps and ordinances are fixed, the pressure was real. The potential for financial loss and wasted effort was always present. Now, after diligence, documentation, and inspection, you act from understanding, not assumption. You wire the money, adjust your contract, or step back. Whatever your choice, you have avoided the most common mistake, buying hope, not land. The lesson is stark. Zoning is not flexible. Planning without it is costly. Verification before payment is not optional. It is survival. The closing line carries the weight of consequence and relief. Knowledge, patience, and process have protected you. One step miscalculated can turn land from asset into liability. By stopping, verifying, and documenting, you turn potential disaster into informed action. The land will not forgive error, but it rewards respect for its rules. You leave the office, file in order, maps marked, letters secured, every stake measured, every line confirmed. You walk the property, seeing possibilities not by assumption, but by law. You are not done with building or farming or living. You are done with being blind. You now know where you stand, and nothing moves until that knowledge guides every decision.